Who has heard our presiding Bishop Michael Curry preach? Did you see the wedding, the royal wedding, the last one? Yeah, he was the preacher, right? He's really fantastic, right? So inspiring. He's just full of energy. And one of the things that I love the most, I've heard him say this several times in sermons, that he says, "Oh, I know Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus." And it kind of inspires me because I think, I too think I know Jesus. I think I do in my heart. But most of the historical information that I've studied about and learned in seminary, I learned from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And why do we have four accounts of Jesus' life? Why aren't they all just mushed together into one? Because each writer had a specific audience in mind to address issues unique to their community. So they each selected and arranged the factual historical facts about Jesus' life in the best way that suited their chosen aim. Matthew's gospel is the most concerned with portraying Jesus as the rightful heir to the messianic throne. And Matthew recounts Christ's royal genealogy, and he does this pronouncements on the Sermon on the Mount. Mark portrays Jesus as the servant of God, and anything else besides that is kind of excluded. There's no birth narrative in Mark. And John, the writer, represents Jesus as the Son of God, fully divine. Jesus is not only flesh and bones, but he's also the creator of all things in conjunction with God. And in Luke, Jesus is the Son of Man. He's fully human, but like any other human being, because his will is perfectly knit in submission to God's will. And for this reason, Luke traces his genealogy back to Adam, or the first man. Our passage today from Luke is very Lucan because it's very human. Jesus preaches from a flat place. He preaches from a plain, not on the mount like in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, which was a position of power, a glory. The Greek word used to describe level is translated from a Hebrew word used in the Old Testament that not just only described something that was level or flat, but it also had deeper meanings of yucky stuff like corpses and disgrace and idolatry and suffering and misery and hunger, all things that plague humanity. So perhaps Luke is trying to let us in on the inside info that Jesus is about to teach us something about bringing the kingdom of God to the broken places of humanity. Another subtlety of this passage, Jesus doesn't turn to the crowd to offer his sermon. He turns to his disciples, or what would become his church, or really today, to us. And he tells us a vision of the way that the world should look. This is where we all might want to run and cling to Matthew's sanitized version of the Sermon on the Mount with all the Beatitudes on the beautiful mountaintop. Because this Luke passage is messy and it's raw and it's real, just like we are. Today, Jesus offers us blessings and woes. But to be blessed does not mean a full bank account or even the absence of struggle. To be blessed, according to Jesus, is to live through opposition, aware that struggle is temporary and that our reward is great in heaven. That is, that God will gather the faithful into the kingdom. To live with woe means suffering a future fate that might not be realized until the final judgment. The woeful might not experience apparent discomfort during this life, but these folks mistake the wealth and the overflowing tables and the good times for God's highest purpose, but they're wrong. Jesus is clearly urging those that hear him to choose the way of blessing. And that means justice and mercy. That's what it always comes down to with Jesus, justice and mercy, right? He says it over and over, and we just keep acting like we are not hearing it, because having to be on a level playing field with those that aren't on our level, either higher or lower, just isn't very fun. It's not even really how the world works, right? Just look at any celebrity magazine when you're stuck in line at the grocery store, or wealth that surrounds us, all around us here in Silicon Valley, or people living in their cars or RVs that can't even afford a place and a roof over their heads. And you'll see that we have completely lost any kind of divine perspective. A view up seems lofty and impossible. We may not feel worthy. We may not feel like we can ever get there. And when we are looking down, we might enjoy the view being higher than others. My theological guru, Caroline Lewis, says that this story exposes our unconscious biases, how much our perspective has been decided by our society and our culture, our implicit biases that have prescribed those in the valleys, those acceptable to look down on, those deemed less than. Yes, the level, plain perspective is a vision hard to see. We start to realize that those in the valley have to look up. And what are we looking up to? The level plane reminds us of how much we don't feel worthy to be on the same level as others. As soon as we start seeing ourselves on the same level, we start to wonder, where should we cast our gaze, up or down? We start to wonder why it's so hard to look sideways, to look around us and beside us, in front of us. Jesus is standing there today talking to us on level ground. It's a little uncomfortable because looking right at Jesus, we don't get to stand on a high place or wallow in the low ones. It's part of our call as Christians and followers of Christ to find this level place, this place where we're all equal with others, and those places that we've always perceived either above or below us. It doesn't feel natural because it's not how society has placed us or labeled us. And when I say that it's our call as Christians to find the level place, I don't mean this as an intellectual exercise. I think really that this sermon on the plain that we've just heard in the Gospel of Luke is a call to action. It's a call to discipleship. Discipleship doesn't earn us blessing points to maintain the status quo and keep things the way that society has always told us to keep them. Discipleship doesn't really earn us points at all, because it's a way of life in which we must reorient relationships and reverse social and economic political injustices so that they gain right standing in the eyes of God. The level plain is the place that Jesus calls us to. It's a place that's big and has plenty of square footage for all of us, for every single human. It's a place that we should inhabit spiritually and culturally and socially. It's a place that forces us to face one another as children of God. The level plain may not come with an ocean view or a view from the 38th floor, but it may come with a view of the brokenness of humanity. But that brokenness of humanity just might be the vista that's actually enabling us as disciples to catch a glimpse at the kingdom of God. Seeing from the place of justice and mercy may be the only one way to really know God.